You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Whoa, Nelly, that can only mean one thing. It's time for the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio, and Dan has decided to take a powder on me today. He just couldn't take all the heat of... He was afraid if he said Trump that Trump would come down on him and, you know, do all sorts of bad things. So we got a guest host today, Mr. Doug Dahlgren, and many of you know Doug from his book, from his show called The Prologue, which is a book review of some of the best authors in the country. And he had a delightful lady on this past Friday. If you hadn't checked it out, check it out. It's on. It's already archived. I didn't want to catch hell from Doug about not having it archived by Monday morning, so I stayed up until 3 o'clock this morning archiving that one show.
And we appreciate it.
I hope to get some sympathy and some violins out of that. But anyway, we're glad to have you listening to the Dan and Dave Show. And Doug, welcome to it as always. And
well, thank you.
We got, you know, there. I can remember a time. I've been in this business a long time, and it hadn't been so bad since I started America's Web Radio. But I can remember a time you really had to dig for stories. You know, you were covering the cat in the tree or something, and the fire department coming to the cat's rescue. But boy, our politicians and the idiots that we have as public figures, they just they're like hogs in a feed trough. They're furnishing us more information than we can even air, and I appreciate it. It makes our job easy, and it makes the hour go extremely fast. So I sent you some thoughts, and I'll just sort of turn it over to you and see what see which of the thoughts you want to begin with.
Oh, I thought we were going to go in order.
Oh, well, we can. I just don't have the sheet in front of me, and I can't remember what the order was.
Well, you picked some dandy topics, I'll be very honest with you. And something you said right there about the coverage today and how the politicians are kind of at the hog trough there giving us information, it also has a lot to do with the way the media handles things. The media, for the most part, and I know there are exceptions, and this station, of course, is one, but there are a lot of the media today that think that they have to drive the news and manipulate and shape the news. They don't just report it anymore, and that's one of the problems that we have. There's a lot of politicians out there that know how to use that, know how to take advantage of it. So you end up with just plain, ordinary misinformation, and you get to a point where a lot of people don't pay any attention to it. So we got a lot of misinformed folks or uninformed folks out there, and that leads to trouble.
Misinformation, is that a nice way of saying lie?
Yeah, it is. And it happens with the best of families and in the best of parties. And it's just not helpful, and I don't understand why they don't get past it. One of the things you brought up was you've got down here 47% of the folks who don't pay taxes and tell us how to spend our money. Are you sure it's that low?
Well, I got it off of Newsmax, I believe it was, and they said it was only four. I'm like you. I'm thinking it's probably more like 52% or maybe even higher than that. But, you know, this has got to stop, and I don't know. I haven't heard a politician one. Or anybody running, maybe I ought to send an email to Donald, and he'll bring it up. But personally, there are three things, and I'm almost at the point of going back to the poll tax. I think we should have voter IDs. There should be no question about that. Voter IDs, which we have in Georgia, but many states don't. Voter IDs. The second thing is, I don't think... If your income is totally off the government dole, then I don't think you have a right to vote. You should have skin in the game. You should be paying taxes like all the rest of us. And if you're not, then I don't think that you should have a right to vote. And then it brings up the last thing is the driver's license to undocumented folks that they're going to be doing in California. you know, if you're here illegally, even if you're here and you're on a green card, that doesn't give you the right to vote. And it's my country, it's your country, it's our country, and we should be the ones that pay taxes, the ones that own property, the ones that have skin in the game should be the ones that elect our representatives. I've never voted for someone, and I think I can speak for you, Doug. I don't think, well, I know I have never voted for someone because I wanted something from them.
True. But not everybody looks at it that way. And that's something that we're very naive about in the way that we go about running elections and trying to combat that chain of thought. We're kind of jumping topics a little bit, but the people who are supportive of Hillary Clinton, you know, there's that figure out there saying that 80% of the folks in this country do not see her as trustworthy. They see her as a liar. Well, yeah, and that includes the people that support her, because that's not their issue. Their issue is, will she take care of me? Will she keep me in this fashion of living that I've become accustomed to, which doesn't include work? All it really includes for effort is to go and vote. And we don't know how to deal with that. We don't accept it for some reason, and we keep thinking that we can combat it. Of your three things you brought up here, I couldn't agree with you more about the voter ID. And the funny thing is, why is that even arguable? It just, you know, anybody with any sense at all knows that you should be able to identify yourself before you vote. Here in Georgia, we do. But there are places in this country where that's considered racist and all sorts of other things. There's very few things in this life that you can do without a proper identification.
You know,
go ahead.
I've heard and seen, and this just boggles my mind. If you and I you and I go to the airport, we're going to have to show ID, our driver's license, and pretty soon it's going to be not only our driver's license, but our passport in our country to get on a damn plane. Now, the way I see it, and I've heard this, I haven't seen it, but I have heard in many cases the Talibs, the Islamics, won't show their ID, and they won't show their face. They wear their burqas or whatever. I'm sorry, but in my country, that's bull. And if the TSA is being intimidated by them, it's like I read a story yesterday my sister sent to me, that a young man, 17 years old, went in a store to buy some things, and he was wearing a cross on the outside of his shirt. And the Muslim that was at the cash register said, please put that inside your shirt. It offends me. And the young man, 17 years old, said, no, I'm not going to do that. If it offends you, that's too bad. And they went on and on, and then the store manager came up, and he said, look, just put it inside your shirt, and don't worry about it, and move on. And the kid said, no, I'm not putting it inside my shirt. Have her take off her scarf. That offends me as a Christian. So it was a stalemate. The kid left his stuff on the counter, walked out. Not only did he walk out, but so did all the people that were behind him listening. They just left their carts and walked out. And this is stuff we're going to have to do. And if it bothers you showing your ID at the airport, well then, you know, everybody should be the same. They should show their IDs. I don't care if they're wearing a burqa or Neil Bortz used to say, the fan belt wrapped around their head with a towel, you know. They show their IDs just like all of us do.
Well, we've got rules and we've got regulations that used to be based on logic, but today, of course, logic can't be used. It's just not fair, number one. But the rules shouldn't be based on religious dogma, even our own, and ours are not. Having to show an ID is not based on anything that's in the Baptist principles or Catholic principles or anything like that, but trying to prevent it is something that's in the Islamic traditions, and it just doesn't fit in our culture, and that's the problem. We've got a culture war that's going on. you mentioned number two of your things about controlling who gets to vote. Isn't that terrible that we're even talking about that, controlling who gets to vote, and yet it's become necessary to talk about it? But people on a government paycheck, I don't know, to be honest with you, Dave, if I totally agree with you that they shouldn't be allowed to vote, although I do see your point. I see it clearly, because they have a vested interest in who gets to stay in power or who gets to continue doing a certain particular thing. And so it's an unfair advantage in a way with the rest of us out here who are trying to keep things on an even keel. But I still don't know. I think if somebody is working and
Wait. What was that word you just said?
Working.
But you pay taxes. You're supposed to take care of me. I don't need to work. I just get my EBT card or whatever it's called, and I don't need to work.
Well, now, are we talking about government employees, or are we talking about people on entitlements?
On entitlements. Okay. Well, government employees too. The post office, but we don't. That's a whole other subject.
It hadn't gotten any better here either. The entitlement situation again. It's logic. It's logic-based, and we shouldn't even be arguing about it. There are people who are on Social Security who obviously earned that. They paid into it. It shouldn't even be called an entitlement, but it is. But then you've got people with the EBT cards and all this other kind of stuff, what we know as welfare. You know, our country believes in safety nets. We don't believe in people dying on the streets, although we're constantly told that we do. But that's just not in our ethic. It's not in the way we are. But we're driven by people who accuse us of that. And so, you know, they get away with this stuff. They're lined up and marched into the polls and told who to vote for, and they vote in lockstep. So I don't know how you control that. I don't know how we get to that point. But I think that, you know, getting back to just using common sense in how we elect our officials would help a great deal. But today, again, I go back to the Hillary situation. People are not fooled by her. People understand very clearly who she is and what she is, but they don't care. And we, on our side of the argument, aren't really rationalizing that. We're not adding that into the equation. We act like, well, that's not how we think. Well, I'm sorry. It's how 52% of the people in this country do think, and we have got to figure out a way to change their mind and get them to understand that that's something that's not going to last very long if they continue with it.
Well, going forward with that a bit, Doug, and this concerns me beyond belief. Personally, as you've heard me say, Hillary is not going to be the Democratic nominee. Joe Biden will be, and Joe Biden will quite likely be our next president, in my opinion. But before then, you listen to this garbage that the left-wing communist Sanders is promoting. Anybody with any sense would say, this guy's a fool. This doesn't work. It's been proven it doesn't work in Russia. It's been proven it doesn't work in any other country. But we have kids that are buying in to his sandwich of lies and of freebies, and you ask them, you corner them, how are we going to pay for this? And they have no clue. It doesn't matter, really, to them. They don't care whether it's paid for or not, just as long as they get their free tuition. I hate to do this in such we're right in the middle of a good stream flow here, but we got to take a break. So we'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show with Mr. Doug Dahlgren standing in for Dan right after this.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show, and sitting in for Dan today is our good friend Doug Dahlgren, and we want to invite you to listen to his show every Friday morning. The prologue is at 11 o'clock on America's Web Radio, exclusively, I might add, and it's a great show. He interviews some of the most terrific writers, not necessarily as well known as some other writers, but they're getting there, and Doug's helping them to become better known in the country, and hopefully America's Web Radio is doing the same with them and helping them get their brand out and get to be known.
So, well, and we appreciate America's Web Radio doing that. And, you know, I'd like to add to what you said that we're not just helping the authors. We're helping the listeners. There's a lot of good stuff out there you're missing out on.
That's right.
And, you know, people today say, well, I don't really read that much anyway. These are interesting personalities, people that you need to know about, and they write books. A lot of them do. And so we invite you to this. A prologue's an introduction. That's really what it means. And we're introducing you to these people and their work. And then you can decide whether you want to follow through any further with it. But they are interesting folks, and we try to make it an interesting show and where you can learn about them. And he mentioned Haygood Smith. She's a New York Times bestseller. She was on last week, and that is on the archives. And, Dave, we thank you so much. We really do.
Well, I tell you what, you're talking about readers. I haven't seen my wife. We've been married 35 years, and I haven't seen anything but above her nose since we married. I had no idea. You know, you've heard of bookworms. She's got her face buried in a book from all the time. We go on vacation, and I might as well be going alone because she's buried in a book. Even at the ocean, she'll sit out and listen to the ocean, but read a book. So there are folks like her, and a lot of folks do have the time to read, and that's great. Let's get back to our politics. We were talking about Bernie Sanders. If somebody comes up to me, and all I ask them, if they're a Bernie, that's fine if they're a supporter of his, but I ask them one thing, how is it going to be paid for? He's talking an exorbitant amount of new debt on top of what Obama has done to us. So as far as I'm concerned, he is no choice. And at the point, if he were ever to be elected for dog catcher, I must say I would take action to get the hell out of here. He's too far the other way. Now, with regard to Hillary, I think Obama's going to roll the bus over Hillary, and it'll happen sometime between May and June and July, but probably the latter part of April, May, or first part of June. He's going to throw his hands up and say, well, the DOJ just has too much on Hillary. We've got to take it to the public and take it to the courts and let them decide. As soon as she's indicted, her party's over with. And here comes old Uncle Joe. Well, old Bo on his deathbed, he asked me to save the country. And I should have jumped in, but But now I'm going to, and I'm going to save the country and the world. And Uncle Joe, even though he has his foot in his mouth, will be the one that people vote for.
I guess I have an alternative universe going. I do not. I agree with you on one point. I do not see Hillary Clinton as the nominee. I really don't. But if Obama is the one who drops a dime on her, do you think that she's in this in a vacuum? Did she do all this on her own? I think that Obama is in there up to his eyeballs with what went on and the lack of concern for our security and everything else. And I think she would roll over on him so fast that his head would spin. So I see a scenario playing out more like where there's a deal probably already in the works. The Las Vegas or the Nevada situation over the weekend did not help my scenario because everybody predicted she would lose to Bernie Sanders and that she would then lose this coming week in South Carolina and that she would fall apart and drift away. I do think she is going to drop from the race and go away, and we will never have that satisfaction of seeing her in the orange jumpsuit, seeing her with her arms behind her back in chains. They're not going to do that to her. As much as we know she deserves it, and much as we would like to see it, I just don't believe that's ever going to happen. But I don't think she's going to make it to the convention. Biden, Uncle Joe, there's too much on him. I have to disagree with you there. What strikes fear in me is the name of Elizabeth Warren. She's the only female in Congress who has not supported or endorsed Hillary Clinton, only female Democrat. Let me clarify that. And she's sitting back there just real quiet. She's a Looney Tunes, but she doesn't have the baggage that a Biden would carry, and she doesn't have the baggage that Hillary carries. So that's what scares me, is I do see somebody riding in at the last minute without a lot of time to go after her or anything else. Plus, she's a woman again. And, you know, that's the name that scares me to death coming up on this deal. Bernie Sanders, you got to understand who his supporters are. And it's our fault, Dave. I mean, you know, we're in that age. We're the baby boomers. And more than half of the folks, the kids that we grew up with, were hippies. You know, they're out there in California all over the place, and the hippies that aren't teaching our kids and our grandkids in college to be idiots, very few of them are working. You know, they're either sitting around smoking dope or they're teaching people in the universities. So we got a real bad situation of those folks, but again, I don't see them as carrying the day and getting Bernie Sanders elected. I agree with you there. So you say Uncle Joe, I say listen out, watch out for Elizabeth Warren, and our people need to kind of be prepared for that.
I can't disagree with you. I think she would be right in there if Uncle. The thing about Uncle Joe, you know, even if Hillary rolled over on Obama, you know, I'll swear on a stack that he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't be in office to begin with. He's, as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't born here. I've stopped talking about it, but I've been in the print and advertising business so long that, you know, when they show me the certificate of live birth that supposedly was done in 1962 before they ever had laser printers, I have a hard time swallowing that. The same thing with the supposedly long-form birth certificate. You know, my artists could have done a whole lot better job than whoever did them for Obama, so I'll drop it at that. But you got to give the devil his due. He has covered up everything. You know, he has locked the doors down. So Hillary could come out with it, but I don't know that it would stick. The other thing is, old Joe, and this talking about scaring you to death, old Joe would put Hussein up for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And, you know, it all, I, Doug, I tell you what, you and I are about the same age, older than dirt, and I know Moses was a good friend of mine. I don't know if he knew you or not, but.
Attila the Hun was my buddy.
Okay. So, you know, the kicker is, we're sitting here talking, and you mentioned it before we went on the air. I can't even believe we're talking about some of this stuff. It is absolutely... I go home at night, and I just sit and stare at a wall sometimes thinking, how have we done this? And it didn't happen overnight, and I'm not going to throw rocks at, you know, when it started, how it started. I've got my personal opinions that it was going on even before World War II and just exasperated by the Roosevelts and during World War II. But who knows? And I guess my favorite question is, I listen to somebody on the right, or I listen to somebody on the left, but particularly on the right, and they, the people on the right, will come out with, well, they've been doing it to us. They intend, and I keep asking, who the hell is they? Tell me who they are. And I take it one step further. So they being Obama, or they being the Muslims or whatever, so they want to control everything, and Obama has done a pretty good job of getting in everybody's pants, from the economy to medicine to agriculture to the EPA and you name it, and he's pretty well gotten in and playing with us. But to what end? So who's they? I have a real problem with that. And
you know, you just threw me a high and tight fastball that's just right in my wheelhouse. I could go off on this for an hour, and I'll try not to. But in my opinion, the evil they is our news media. Democrats going to do what Democrats going to do. They're going to take advantage of the situation. The problem is that the people in this country who are basically good people, all right? And I'm sick and tired of everybody, you know, running us down. We're racists, we're this, we're bums, we're that. The people in this country, for the most part, are good people, but they do not have accurate information. And if you don't have accurate information, you can't make a good decision. I'll give you one example, and I'll try to get off of it. But right now, if you watch the news, if you watch any of the business shows, they're trying to tell you how great this economy is. This economy is terrible. Anybody out there knows it. Anybody trying to raise 3-4 kids in this economy understands that this economy is awful. But there are a few people up there who are making a lot of money off the bank deals. They're making a lot of money off of Obamacare that drive the news cycle. And the media, of course, can't say the economy is bad because that reflects on Obama. And Obama is their chosen one. He's the one they put in there. They're taking credit for that election that shouldn't have happened because he is the first black president. And it's a shame that that is what he is going to go down in history as. Not any accomplishments. It'll even foreshadow the Obamacare mess. But he's the first black president. Therefore, he's untouchable.
Half black.
Well... black enough. But again, my evildoers in this whole scenario are the media. Now, we believe in a free press. So what do? Do we lock them all up? You know, what has to happen is that people get themselves educated where they can recognize when they're being lied to, and they need to call these folks down because they're going to do whatever they can do. You already know they're coming out of college with the idea that reporting the news is not what they're supposed to do these days. They are supposed to affect the news. And that's what they try to do. That's from the Vietnam War forward.
You know, an interesting part of that, and I've been in this business, like I said, many, many years, and you listen to the news, you listen to Obama, he rolls Israel under the bus all of the time, and yet most of the media, in one shape, form, or fashion, is owned by Jewish people.
Yes.
And it's, you know, you wonder to what end they're going to get out of it by rolling it under the bus. Tell you what, we got to stop and let people absorb that highly intellectual thought that you had there. And we're going to play a couple of commercials. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
This is Peter Wallace, inviting you to listen every Sunday morning to Day One with inspiring preachers from America's mainline churches on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous, tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. Sitting in for Dan, or standing up for Dan, or doing something with Dan, I guess. I don't know, is Doug Dahlgren, better known as the host of the Prologue exclusively on America's Web Radio. And we're glad to have him in. We're not talking books today, we're talking down and dirty politics.
Yes.
And
offering you a little bit of the truth here, or as we see it, anyway.
Well, it's our opinion, and by golly, they can take a lot of things away from us, but they can't take our opinion away.
That's true. That's true. And opinions are something that really don't enter into the prologue. I just want to make that clear. We have writers from both sides, to be quite honest with you, and we talk about their book. That's it. There's no politics that enters into it. So
I thought they were right or further right.
Excuse me?
I thought all of the authors that you had on were either to the right or further to the right. You mean you've had some liberals on?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. But again, see, it doesn't matter. That's the bridge we need to build, is where we can find some area that we can talk about. And literature is one of those. But there's a lot of the writers out there who don't agree with us for whatever reason or the other, but, you know.
I can't imagine that.
Anyway, enough said in that area. You mentioned a Jewish vote a while ago. It's kind of odd with the way this administration for 7.5 years now, almost 7.5 years, has treated the Jewish people, treated Israel, and yet in the last election, the Jewish vote still went majority-wise in this country to the Democrats. Noodle that one for me. I don't understand that.
Well, there, like you said, a lot of Jewish people don't understand it either, and they have commented on it. We've talked about it in many cases, but they are saying that they're finally coming around. The newer generations are realizing that. You know what, their parents, the older Jewish society, gave a lot of lip service, but they gave no help to Israel. Now there are youngers in their 50s, 40s, and 50s that are seeing that, as you and I see it, that Israel is our only hope. I tell you what, I'm going to take a call right quick. Dan or Doug, say something.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. He's expecting a call from his wife, which is very important, so we'll excuse Dave for a couple of minutes. One of the other topics, and I want to address it right now, everywhere I go or people that I talk to, when we get into the Republican candidates, real quick, I'm accused, for lack of a better word, of being a Trump supporter. I don't know that I'm a Trump supporter as much as I say that I think I understand what's going on out there. And there are numbers, if you wanted to look at them, that would back me up on this. The people who are supporting, diehard supporting Donald Trump, regardless of what he says, regardless of what appears to be an outlandish statement, even down to a week or so ago in the debate where he attacked George Bush, I want you to know I had some bones to pick with George Bush toward the end of his two terms, but the man kept us safe after 9/11. He really did. And I don't blame him for what happened, and I give him all the credit in the world for keeping us safe. That's my opinion. But the statements that Donald Trump made, as outlandish as they were even to me, they didn't hurt him. Why is that? For years, we have been seeing on Facebook or wherever, and when you talk to people, you always hear your friends say, "Wake up, America. Here's what's happened. Wake up out there. Get involved." Folks, I'm here to tell you they have. They've woke up. They're not the normal folks that you and I are depending on to talk to, or the ones that we see in the grocery store and church or whatever. They're the ones who have been aloof to it all, either maybe too busy with work and just didn't really think it was important, or maybe they were just, you know, hiding in a bunker someplace. But these people are turning out, and the numbers in this short season so far, primaries, the numbers bear that out. Just last week or so there in South Carolina, on the Republican side, in 2012, the primary had 593,000 votes cast for Republican candidates. This last cycle, the 2016, it was 200,000 more votes cast on the Republican side alone. 200,000, it's an increase of 33%.
Do you think people are just ticked?
I think that they've been woken up. I think there's a lot of people who are just ticked. But we've got what hasn't helped is the folks, for lack of a better word, and they hate me for this, but the establishment, the elites, the folks I used to love to listen to. I would try to form, you know, our dinner hour around the 5 on Fox, where I could get to listen, not the 5, but the Bret Baier show, where I could get to listen to Charles Krauthammer and sometimes Steve Hayes and people like that, because I appreciated and admired what they had to say. But since Donald Trump has entered this race and he is not beholding to that group, that inner core, that establishment Republican group, I don't know, their wheels have come off. They're not making sense to me anymore at all. And I don't think I'm the only one.
Well,
because all they want to do is defend the status quo, which has gotten us defeated in the last three elections anyway.
You know, they, I don't know, I don't have statistics on it, but they seem to have Donald Trump on Fox as much as anybody else. I don't know. I my verdict is out. I don't watch, you know, I watch some of the news. I don't, I think Charles Krauthammer, I think you're right there. I think he's sort of blown Trump off as a yo-yo. And I'll be honest, I've never seen anything like Trump before. The more he steps in it, the more he comes out smelling like a rose, and the more people he picks up. And I, quite frankly, Doug, I don't know if that's good or bad. We don't want somebody with this, and I don't think Trump is, but at the same token, we don't want somebody with the finger on the button that has a volatile temper.
Do you really think somebody in the position that he's risen to is that person that you'd have to be afraid of? Yeah, that's the thing. What he portrays out there at the debates and what he says on Fox or the other news stations, and the reason he's on the other news stations is a bit of genius. He's saying things that propel him onto these news stations.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's wanting to tear him down over it.
You know, I that brings up a good point. And Fox brought it out, I think it was, my days get all messed up. I think it was even today, or maybe it was yesterday, he had five paid employees in South Carolina. That was it. He spent less than any other candidate in South Carolina, other than Carson, who's run out of money, I guess. But Trump spent less money, certainly less than Bush, certainly less than Rubio or Cruz. And I'm sitting there laughing that this guy, if he's that damn smart, then God bless him and let's just go ahead and put him in office. Or, my other question, who the heck is running his campaign? Who is blowing in his ear telling him what to do and how to do it? And, you know, if it's all him, then... And it was sort of like his speech. I guess he was here, what, Saturday night? Or last night?
Saturday.
And he's totally off the cuff. You know, the lights were bad, the lights went out or whatever, and... It didn't faze him at all. He just took it and ran with it and made the people, the guy that had gone to the bathroom that was controlling the, where was the venue, by the way, do you know?
That I don't know. Saturday was a busy day for us and family issues and such, but I know he was in town. But you're right, things that would tear up another candidate or really ruin their performance doesn't affect him.
No.
Just doesn't.
He's you got to give the devil his due. He's incredible in many ways and many aspects. And he's certainly, I was as cynical as anybody else going about him even getting in. And you know, the one thing I hear the most about Trump, whether you love him, like him, dislike him, whatever, is the fact that. And he's making it well known, but you got to give him credit for it. He's paying his own way. And
Absolutely. He's
not beholden to your grandmother, my grandmother, anybody else. He's paying his own. And you turn that right back around. Who is Hillary beholden to for Nevada? She's beholden to Harry Reid making a call to one of the unions.
Yeah, the casino employees.
Yeah, and... you know, hopefully that'll come back to bite the Democrats on the butt, you know. And I heard something the other day. I don't know if you heard this or not. And it's a side of Trump that, you know, if I were he, and I would be making all the mistakes in the world, so I'd be saying something about it. He never said a word about it. But he heard of a young Jewish kid that had some really traumatic... medical problems and needed transportation to somewhere. I just heard it, can't give all the details, and I apologize for that. But he sent one of his planes out, picked up the family and the kid, and flew them pro bono to wherever they needed to go. Just did it. No questions asked, just did it.
Yes. And it wasn't he that put it. The reason you don't know that much about it is because he didn't publicize it. That's not why he did it.
No.
Imagine, and I'm sorry for this, but imagine if they had the wherewithal, if a Rubio or a Cruz or even, you know, Jeb Bush did something like that or helped to affect something like that. They would be shouting it from the rooftops.
Cameras would be rolling, as they say.
Yes, yes. And that's, I guess, the thing. I know we got to get to a break, but that's the thing about the establishment folks. The more people are trying to tell them, it is not what Donald is saying or what he has done in the past. It is what you have said and what you have done in the past is the reason that he's so popular. They can't accept that. They just refuse to.
Like you said, we're going to take that last break. We'll be back with Doug Dahlgren and the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And for you that are happy that this is our last segment on the Dan and Dave Show this morning, the NSA has your telephone number, and we will use it. For those that are enjoying it, we're glad to have Doug Daldren on the air with us today, sitting in, standing in, or sitting in Dan's lap. I don't know what those guys are doing. But anyway, Doug Daldren's in here, and Dan's by the seashore on the left coast watching the waves go by. A job he can well maintain. I saw him put that into action at Hilton Head this past September, so I know he can handle it well.
You stepped on a good landmine there on the intro into this last segment. You mentioned the NSA and the people's fears of NSA listening in on their phones and all this kind of stuff. Doesn't the Apple situation kind of answer all of that?
You know, it's sort of like if you got something to hide, then it should bother you. If I got my tail to protect, I don't care what and I've gone through security. You were in the military. We're both in the military. I've got a son in the military. We've all gone through some level of security check. And if we're loyal Americans, I have nothing to hide. I don't care. And if they catch one, if because of what the NSA can do, I'm more trustworthy than some folks are, and that doesn't mean that I trust the government and everything. But, you know, if they catch one terrorist and can string them up, then let them go. Let them do it, you know? I think people become paranoid. This thing with Apple, I don't know how you feel about it. I better ask you, how do you feel about it before I tell you how I feel about it?
I think it's a tremendous publicity thing that Apple's taking full advantage of. Frankly, I understand the security concerns that people have. Don't think I don't. But I also believe that if they wanted to, that Apple could say, let us have that phone for a half a day and we'll turn it back to you where you can get what you need from it.
I agree.
And they're just not wanting to do it because it's worth more to them trying to pretend that they're fighting Uncle Sam or fighting, you know, Big Brother than it would be to simply cooperate and allow us to find out the information that everybody knows we need to find out. This is a warrant, and you don't ignore a warrant. But they've got their heels dug in. They're doing it. So, anyway.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit amazed at the FBI because I have a very close friend, IT person, that does contract work for the FBI. And there are a lot of brilliant, brilliant minds out there. Certainly, I ain't one of them, but there are a lot of them that know this internet and know all of the stuff inside and out. And I'm very surprised that the FBI would even look that they haven't cracked it or haven't been able to get a contractor to crack it with or without Apple. And I'm sometimes wondering if it's just a ploy by the FBI to say, oh, we can't do it.
The folks, I'm going to try to run through it real briefly, and I may not be totally accurate, but the problem with it, there are programs out there that will crack a code no matter what. If it's four digits, it'll take them about a month, 6 weeks. If it's five or six digits, it might take them a year. But there are programs that you can hook up that will continuously go through an Android and break the code. Now, the problem with the Apple device, this particular phone, it will allow you as a user to try four tries in sequence, and then if you don't get the right code after the fourth one, it makes you wait, I think, 5 minutes. And then if you don't get it the next one, it makes you wait 10 minutes. And this multiplies to to where you have to wait almost a week, and it finally realizes that, you know, you're not the right owner of this phone, and it destroys the data. So they don't want to start trying too often or too many times to figure out what that code is, because it could destroy everything in there. And Apple built it. I believe Apple could get into it. I know they're playing dumb, but I'm sure they could.
Well, you know, I don't think it's a matter of could. I think it's a matter of will. I can't buy, and this, again, is from just my own feelings, that Apple or anybody else would build something with the front door and not have a back door. And I think Apple, with the right gun to their head, could give us the information needed within 30 minutes to 2 or 3 hours at the outside.
Well, that's the thing, though. They're portraying themselves as having a gun to their head and standing up to Big Brother.
Yeah, well.
And they get more out of that than they would if they just helped us. So.
Well, I think somebody should. Well, I don't want to go.
Well, you heard Trump. Was it Trump not too long ago that said, well, the answer is just boycott Apple?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing he does, you see. That,
yeah.
He speaks the things that we don't want to say, but that's what we're thinking. And.
Well, I tell you, the thing there is for him to say it, but then it's got to be done, you know? And this is, a lot of people have said a lot of things. A lot of people have said they were going to have radio stations. They didn't. And they don't go through some of the stuff that I've gone through. But you got to put your money where your mouth is, you know? Now, Trump obviously has in the past. And, you know, maybe he's the leader that we need. We do boycott. You know, I don't think I've ever heard this before, but from the Oval Office, President Donald Trump wants to do a press conference, and his press conference is, I'm asking the American people to boycott Apple. That would be a twist that I ain't never seen before, but what the heck?
It would. But again, he's a different kind of an individual, and one has to ask himself, number one, if he's the idiot that he portrays sometimes and that we all want to say that he is sometimes, how did he get where he is? He's not an idiot. He started, I think, with $1 million his dad gave him, and that was a pittance compared to what he's built with it. The other thing is, why would he give that up to take this office? Unless he was truly motivated, and I think some of that motivation is that the atmosphere, the administration, and the way they're doing things in this country have made it impossible for business to function, and good business, not ripping people off, but just capitalism is being strangled by the way this administration's operating. Dodd-Frank and all these other things that are going on, you know. He sees that his way of making a living and other people's are in jeopardy. And so he's willing to give up. This is almost going back to George Washington times. He's willing to give up what he's got and go in and serve and try to straighten things out. And I think that's what's in his head. I really do. And like I say, I think there'll be things that you and I would not agree with that he might do as from the Oval Office. But I think primarily he would stir up jobs. He would make this economy get running again and put America back on its feet, and also be the one who stands up to these little pipsqueaks over there in Europe and Asia and all this, who currently don't even care what we have to say, and make them sit back and take notice. You guys can go over there and screw around and play and do all you want to, but you do not kill Americans. I want you to understand that. There's a price to pay if you kill Americans.
Well, I agree with you. The other issue, or one other thing that I didn't put on my list today, and I've mentioned it before on the air, that while everybody's going to the gas pump and smiling and saying, oh, this is just wonderful, people should know what the EPA is doing to the oil industry, what they've done to the coal industry.
Yes.
They have propped up crap called ethanol. They've propped up bull called solar energy. They've propped up the wind industry, that every one of them has proven to be a total failure if they didn't have your tax dollar and my tax dollar holding them up. The best example was this solar thing we invested, $1 billion of our tax money in that immediately went bankrupt after Obama had given them the money. Like I mentioned, you got to give Obama credit. He has torn this country apart from every direction, from Obamacare to the EPA to up the DOJ, up and down the gambit. And he has done it very successfully.
That same logic you just said, and Obama is one of the worst, but look at what happened out in Missouri with the primary out there. Terry Branstad, a Republican governor, came out violently against Donald Trump because of the ethanol situation, okay, and against Cruz, I believe it was, because of the ethanol situation. He got his hat handed to him. The people of his own state, and he's, what is he, the most reelected governor of any state
in Iowa? Yeah.
And the people did not go along with him. They voted against his wishes. So folks are waking up, and like I say, you got to be careful sometimes what you ask for. We've been saying, hey, wake up, America, get involved. People, they are. They're awake, and they're getting involved, and frankly, I hope they stay involved.
I couldn't agree with you more. Doug, I want to thank you for taking Dan's place today. You didn't take his place. You just filled in for him, I guess is a better way to say.
No, that couldn't be done. And, but I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share some opinions with you. It's always fun, and I thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you have opinions because I keep mine to myself. I try not to put them out on the table where they can get cut up. So, anyway, we're glad to have you on today, and we look forward to the prologue on Friday. And thank you
great
once again.
Great guest Friday, folks. Listen in.
And we'll be
about the future.
We'll be back with the Land Surveying Show right after a couple of messages. Stay tuned.